Amen. I'm going to just read a few verses as we get started. You're familiar with this. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. That's Psalm 119, 130. And the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, the revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. In some ways, we're all inexperienced in certain ways. In certain areas, we're inexperienced. We need revelation. And when revelation comes, we act upon it, and we become experienced in the Word of God. So the Young's Literal Translation says, the opening of thy words enlighteneth. That's saying basically the same thing. And the Amplified says, the entrance and unfolding of your words gives light. That's revelation, the unfolding that we could say in the vernacular today, aha! That's unfolding. Aha! I see it. Okay, so we could say that in today's language, and the CEV or the Contemporary English Version says, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. Hallelujah. So we always come expecting that God will reveal and unfold his word to us. I'm not going to say God doesn't continually unfold, but you know, if I kept giving instructions to you and you didn't act upon them, why would I give you more instructions? Why would I give you further insight and deeper revelation into something that you wouldn't even act on the basics? So I think that when we get revelation, it is, of course, we know this, we act upon what we know or what's been revealed. Everybody get to Psalm 55 and verse 22. I'm going to read this from the King James. We'll read some other translations. 55, verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good thing? Cast thy burden. Whose burden? Your burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he'll do what? He'll sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I like the Message translation. It says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. Right? Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. And the NIV says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. These are some other translations. The Amplified, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. That means don't carry it. If you're carrying it, you haven't released it yet. You're still trying to walk around with that thought, that worry, that burden, whatever it is, and you haven't let it go. Now think about that. If you're carrying it, he can't sustain thee because you're still carrying it. You haven't released it. You're still carrying it. It's conditional. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. The Living Bible, it says, give your burdens to the Lord. He will carry them. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall. The Young's Literal Translation, cast on Jehovah that which he hath given thee, and he doth sustain thee. This is kind of old English. He doth not suffer forever the moving of the righteous. This isn't forever. So when we cast or we release or we remove or cast off, or you could say it another way, throw off the burden, the weight, the troubles, fears, then he will sustain thee. He'll carry it. You release it. Well, what if I did that and it didn't change? What are you supposed to do? What's the answer? Cast off, throw off. So if it comes again, you throw it off. You cast it off, and he will sustain thee. Amen. Say that. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. What are we supposed to do? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Hallelujah. What is a burden? Something that weighs us down, heaviness, something that troubles you, something that bothers you. So something that weighs on you, a heaviness, a burden, we're not supposed to carry it. He said, pile it on the Lord, cast it upon the Lord, and he will carry it. He'll take it. You know, we're not designed really to carry, you know, the physical body. I know a lot of you, maybe you're in the medical field. You already know this. This body is not designed to carry fear, heaviness, stress. I know a little bit, and just knowing some medical people, people that have been in the medical field many, 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 many years, have told me that the area of just the gastrointestinal area, the colon area, all of that can be all twisted up and messed up because of stress. And a lot of times people, this one person I know said, you don't realize how many people are constipated. And this person told me that it is not due to bad diet, it's stress. And I said, really? She said, yep. And we live in a very stressful environment, and it can cause constipation, or the reverse. It can cause excessive diarrhea, and it has nothing to do with bad diet, something going on. It's stress-related. And I said, really? I said, yep, it's stress-related. And so the body itself was never designed to carry stress or heaviness or weight. And we're to do what? What are we supposed to do? Cast it upon the Lord, and he will care. He will sustain. He'll take it. He'll care for us. Now, you know these scriptures. Why don't you turn over for a moment, Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 29. Matthew 11, Matthew 11, verse 29. What does it say? It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my what? My burden is light. So his yoke is what? Easy, and his burden is light. So now there is, now when you think about this, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he mentioned in 2 Corinthians 11:28, he said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, the care of all the churches. So there is a burden that comes along with the service in the Lord, or service of the Lord. There is a burden that comes along with that. But his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. What does that mean? That if you're doing the work of the Lord and there's a burden, there's a grace that goes along with that that makes the yoke easy and the burden light. if you're carrying that burden, then it can be a hard place if you're carrying it and you're not letting go of that burden, that heaviness, you see. And, you know, again, we all in life come into situations where there can be a situation that causes a fear or stress or anxiety or a heaviness. Everyone, you live long enough, you're going to face some heaviness, some fear, some burden in life. But what are we supposed to do? Cast our cares upon the Lord. We're supposed to cast it upon Him. And He will do what? Sustain us. He'll keep us. He'll take it. But we have to do that in faith. These are some New Testament scriptures you're familiar with. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for what? Nothing. No thing. Be anxious for nothing is another translation. Be anxious for no thing. And it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, or in due season, casting all of your care, what? Upon him, some of the things. No, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So what are we supposed to do? Cast or throw off or release or give it to the Lord, right? Cast all of our care upon him. He's able to take this load that sometimes we try to take. And you know, sometimes it can start as a little load. It can start as a little load. We say, I got this. I can handle this. And then we open the door, and it can get a bigger load and another fear and another anxiety. And before we know it, we've got a truckload that we're trying to carry. And it becomes what? It becomes a burden. But we're not supposed to carry anything. We're supposed to let go, cast off, throw off any anxiety, any weight, any fear, any pressure we're supposed to cast off. And when God gives us assignments, I'm talking about spiritual assignments, things that we know we're called to do, there's a grace that goes along with that. Because if you're feeling weighed down, heavy down, doing this assignment, you've taken something that there's no grace to carry that. You know, I'm thinking about some things I did in the ministry here, and there were graces that allowed me to do some things that it was not a burden. I mean, no burden, none. I mean, I get physically tired because you live in this body. You would get physically tired. I did. But mentally, and in my heart, I wasn't weighed down and burdened with things because it was a joy to do. Now, there were times, there were a few seasons that I went through that I allowed some thoughts to be entertained, and I got over into some depression. But I allowed the thoughts. But it was thoughts of, you know, what are you doing with your life, this kind of stuff, and I entertained it. But it had nothing to do with the work that I was doing. You understand my point? There was a grace. There was an anointing. When we talk about a grace, there was an anointing to do it. Thoughts would come to make the job easy and just think through things like this and be able to do it. Strength in my body to do it and run 5 and 6 days a week, not sometimes just supernaturally. So my point is that when we do things, when God is in something, there's a grace to do it. And you have the strength and the faculties to do it, and you're not burdened with that. You're like, oh God, I got to do this again. no, if God is in this, there is a grace to do it. There is an anointing to do it. When you're carrying a weight and you're carrying a heaviness or a fear or a troubleness in your mind and you're weighed down with something, you need to cast it off. You need to throw it off. Because why? He cares for me. He sustaineth me. He helps me walk through this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, we all face these kinds of things, everyone. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop him from building a nest in your head. And it's the same thing. You can't stop thoughts from coming in your mind, but you can resist them from staying. It's the same thing. So when thoughts come, when fears come, when anxiety, where does it start? It starts with a thought. And when that anxiousness comes, what are we supposed to do? We don't let it hang out. We say, no, I'm casting this upon you, Lord, for you care for me. You sustain me. You keep me. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about this, you know, the season that we're in, people are getting anxious, fearful, burdened down with this whole political scene. What's going to happen if this person gets in office? What's going to happen if this person gets in office? Oh my God, the whole country's going down the tubes. Let me ask this question. Is God bigger than this government? I think so. Even if the wrong person got elected, I don't think, when you think about Paul and you think about some of the things, we're not having to deal with the likes of Paul before he was saved, going in and yanking people out of homes and having them killed. So in this society that we live, unless you're living overseas in the Middle East, but even there, people are being protected. And people are being warned and people are being kept by God because they're casting their care upon the Lord. So for us, whatever condition we find ourselves in life, we are to do what? Cast our cares upon the Lord. We need to keep that in our mind. Cast our cares upon the Lord. Go to sleep at night. Put your head down. Don't stay up half the night with your stomach churning. Let me see. It's 3 o'clock. Okay, it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I got to go to bed. It's rare for me. I'm going to tell you this. It's rare for me to not be able to sleep. When I'm tired, I'm going to put my head down and go to sleep. Now, there have been times that I'm looking at the clock, but it's rare. When I say rare, it's me if I'm hanging up 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm preparing or doing something or studying, that's on me. And then I'm getting a short amount of sleep. But I'm not hanging out because I can't sleep because my stomach is all churned up. Not me. Nada. I'm going to sleep. So let me ask this question. What are we supposed to do? Tell me again. Cast your cares, your fears, your anxieties. Let me put it another way. Your worries. How are you going to make ends meet? What's going to happen? What is going on? How this says here, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he will sustain thee. Hallelujah. Let's go back, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. I read this, but let's look at this a little, let's look at this some more. 1 Peter chapter 5 and I'm going to say this, for some, you may have grown up or may have been, you may have developed yourself in this area to worry about stuff. And I do understand that some people are more apt or have a propensity to worry and be fearful about stuff. You know, you could take this rule of thumb. Why worry about the things you can change? And why worry about the things you can't change? If you can change it, do something about it. If you can't change it, what do? You can't change it anyways. What are you supposed to do if you can't change? Cast your care upon the Lord. So in the end of the final analysis, what are you worrying about it for? Because if you can do something about it, then you do something about it. If you can't do anything about it, you cast your care upon the Lord. Isn't that right? So we really shouldn't be worrying about anything. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time or due season. Verse 7, casting all, not some, not a part of it, not half. I can take half and the Lord can do the other half. This says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So that means he cares for me. He cares for you individually. Whatever you're faced with, whatever you're going through, he cares about it. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, he can't devour me. He can't devour it. It's who he's seeking who he may devour. Verse 9, what are we supposed to do when he comes around? What are we supposed to do when the thoughts keep coming about worry? And what are we supposed to do when the anxious thoughts keep coming? The worry thoughts. Well, what it says right here in verse 9, whom resist steadfast, what? In faith. So when the thoughts keep coming, you know, people say, well, they keep coming. Yeah. What does it say? Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that in the that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of what? All grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Hallelujah. So I'm not taking this care and fear and heaviness. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to do what? Cast it off and release it. I'm going to give it to God, give it to the Lord. He's the one that can do something about it. These are some other translations in verse 7 of 1 Peter 5. This is the Barclay translation. Bring all your worries to him to carry for you. Bring all your worries to him to carry for you. For he's always concerned about you. This is the J.B. Phillips. I like this. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. You're God's personal concern. Why are you concerned about even yourself? He cares for you. So cast the worry and the anxiety. I don't care what it is. If it's your children, your husband, your wife, your job. I'm getting old. What am I going to do? How am I going to live? You know, all the stuff people think about, all the anxious thoughts that we have, we're not to think about them. We're not to care about it. Now, you can talk to God about it, and He will direct you and show you what to do. But worrying about it ain't going to change a thing. And not changing anything. Talk to the one that can change it. The Living Bible. Let Him have all your worries and cares, for He is always thinking about you. Ah, He's always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Hallelujah. The Wiest translation. Having deposited with Him once for all the whole of your worry. You deposit to Him. Give it to Him. Amen. The Knox. Throw back on Him the burden of all your anxiety. He is concerned for you. The Wan translation. Hand over all your anxieties to Him, for you are His care. He cares for us. Individually, what did it say in the in the J.B. Phillips? For you are His personal concern. He's concerned about us. We shouldn't be. So when you think about it, and again, what I was saying before, our bodies are not designed to carry stress. Doctors tell you that. That some of the major issues that go on the body are due to stress and anxiety. That they cause the psychological issues or things that people carry create physical issues. And so we're not to carry these anxieties. We're to let them go. And God has given it. Isn't it a wonderful thing? We don't need the world to tell us how to live and what to do. We have a covenant, a new covenant, new thinking, new ways to live. And so it's already here. God's, as we heard the Holy Ghost say, the provision for walking a stress-free life is in the promise. And the promise is, if you will cast all of your cares upon Me, I'll take it, and I'll handle it, I'll fix it. You see. Amen. So, again, some of the things that people go through, and they talk, and they say, it's too hard, it's not changing, it'll never change, society's against me. All of the various things that people talk, they release and put into motion spiritual laws that begin to work against them. But that's not God's plan. That's not His covenant for us. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith, is what He is. Let's go to Psalm 91. I was there last a couple weeks ago, but I want to look at that again today before we conclude. Psalm 91. What are we going to do? Cast all your cares upon Him. You're going to cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain us. Psalm 91. He, and I'm going to read from the King James, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. That kind of sounds like what we just got done reading. Cast all, because I trust Him, I'm casting all of my burden, all of my care. He will what? Sustain me. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. Verse 3, surely He shall what? Deliver thee. That sounds like keeping and sustaining, doesn't it? He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be concerned, afraid, fearful. Right? That's what he's saying. For the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He's concerned about me. And he's given us the guide right here. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but what? It shall not come nigh thee. I'm talking about being kept. Talking about being protected. What happens when the news comes on and says, we've got this major outbreak and there's no cure for it? Who are you going to trust in? Who are you going to catch? You know, that fear can grip you. I'm not going out of the house. I'm not going out in society. When I hear people like Matt and Julie, and you hear the stories, they go into areas that the normal person won't go in. But again, they're led. God may say, don't go to that town. Don't go up that road. Don't go that way. But he is going to direct them. There's a grace to do what he's called them to do. Hallelujah. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. This is conditional. When we go back up to verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He'll do these things. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hallelujah. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me. I'm his personal concern. He has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him where? In trouble. He gonna be with me in trouble. And what does it say? I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I like this in verse 11. The Good News Translation says, God will put his angels in charge of you to protect you wherever you go. Wherever you're going, God's angels are on assignment protecting you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we hinder that protection because of how we talk. Because we've not said, the Lord is my helper. The Lord protects me. We hinder the angels from protecting us. The Message translation, he said, he ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. The New Living translation, it says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Wherever you go. I'm thinking about in my childhood, and I think about some of the stuff that I found myself in before I was saved, in vehicles going at excessive speed, and being protected. Now, how many know over in Mahwah, you have the Sheraton Crossroads, you know, that big hotel over there? Well, when I was in my 20s, I raced cars, liked to do it a lot of times on the street. And I was in this car with a guy, he had a Cobra 350 or 427. It was a big monster engine in a sports car, in a Austin Healey 3000. He had this big Cobra engine in it. And we left Sloatsburg, and we were sitting in Sloatsburg, which is about 5 or 6 miles north of Mahwah. And this Corvette pulled up next to him. I'm in the passenger seat. He's driving. And a little womp womp. And off we went. Off we went down Route 17. And he blew this Corvette off in the first 50-100 feet. He blew it off. He tore it up. This car was fast that I was in. It was fast. By the time we hit Mahwah, we were doing over 150. We were going fast. And so we come around Mahwah, and he had, to boot, he had slicks on. He didn't have tires, regular tires. Slicks are bald for additional traction. So we come around into Mahwah at this excessive speed, and here's a stream of water running across Route 17 from the night before that it had rained. And this car hit that, and we were going up 17 like this, doing 360s up the road. And my life, I'm sitting there going, okay, this is it. It's the end of my life. And we never hit a guardrail. It just up the road, and the car was flipped, turning this way, facing traffic. He just did this. Turned it around, gunned it around, and off we took. And I'm sitting there. I'm blinking and shaking. But I look back on some of these things that happened to me, that and a few others, being in cars that probably I shouldn't have been in. And even a couple years ago, coming back from Pennsylvania, doing a ministry assignment, I fell asleep at the wheel, nodded off. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, tired, and I was coming into Mahwah. Mahwah's not, I guess I don't know about Mahwah. I'm about Mahwah. You got to drive through Mahwah. But this is why I talk about the angels protecting us. Because when my eyes opened up, I was doing 60, 65. I knew I was tired. So I wasn't going. I was doing the speed limit. And I didn't hear anything. You know, my eyes opened up and I'm thinking, but I didn't hear anything. You know, when you hit the little warning strip on the side, so I knew I hadn't drifted over. I had been going on the white line, just a little bit over the white line. I'd been driving at 60, 65. When my eyes opened up, there was a bumper sitting in front of me. It was a police car that had pulled over on the side of the road. And I had, this is how quick it happened. My eyes opened up, I went, 1, 2, 3, turn. That quick at 65, I had less than a second to turn or I'd have been up his rear end. You're talking about protected, protected. And I remember coming back from Pennsylvania 3 or 4 years ago. I'd been up very late the night before, prepared this message. I went up. I'm dry. I felt good going up, coming back, halfway back. I'm fighting to stay awake. And I was on the right side. And the next thing, the car is up in the air. I'm talking about the white vehicle, ministry vehicle. I'm up, boom! And I'm like, and because I had raced cars before, I don't get nervous with cars being out of control. I don't jerk wheels. So when it came down, all I did was just move it back into the lane very slowly, pulled back over. When I got over, when I pulled it over to the side of the road, there was no damage to the car. There was nothing, not a scratch, nothing. And when I came, when I looked, I had hit one of those, what do you call it, those K barriers, K rails. So the car just walked up the side, came down, right? When I drove up to the village the next week, I looked all the way up and all the way back. I'm looking, where the heck are these K rails, these concrete barriers? There was only one small, tiny section down around exit 26. Everywhere, all the way back, was nothing but ravines, ditches, metal guardrails, and I hit this little, tiny, itty-bitty section. And I'm thinking, if you don't tell me, when I look back, I said, my God, the supernatural protection was way out beyond. I'm saying, how the heck did I not run off the road, flip upside down, hit a metal guardrail? How is that possible? I'm telling you, angels. And I committed to God. I said, I will never drive tired again. I told him, I said, twice is too many times. And I said, I'm not playing that way anymore. So I will not drive tired. I won't do it because I'm not tempting something. You know, you push boundaries, and at some point you say, okay, that's, we've gone too far. So what are we supposed to do with worries? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will do what? He will sustain you. Psalm 91. What are we doing? It says, because we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. So I'm going to trust him. You know, you have to actually exercise this. You don't just hear this, but when the fears and the anxieties and the worries come, we've got to remind ourselves we're not supposed to carry this worry. We're not supposed to carry this anxiety. And I'll guarantee if we had a show of hands in here, every person in here has something that they're facing with in life, a concern, an anxiousness, a fear, a worry. You've got to cast that off. If you can't change it, if you can't fix it, you're not supposed to carry it. You're supposed to cast it off and let God work it out and trust him and believe him. Say, God, I know you're going to work this out. Lead me. Show me how to work this out. Show me how to fix this. Show me how. You get in the middle of this. Right? Amen. Because the seasons that we come in, you know, as I said, when we look at society, people are anxious about what they're seeing, anxious and fearful about what they're hearing. And this is not the time to be anxious and fearful. It'll short-circuit your faith. If you're in anxiousness, if you're in worry, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. It won't work. Amen? Praise God. I hope you get a little something. I'm just thinking I need to be reminded myself. Don't carry worry. Don't carry fear. Don't carry anxiousness. Don't carry concern. If you're concerned about something that's weighing on you, cast it off. Throw it off. That's what it said. Throw off the worry. Say, I'm not going to worry about this. Brother Hagin used to say it. Pastor Sarah said she'd hear him pray it. Lord, I'm not concerned about this, even though it concerns me. I'm not going to concern myself about it. I don't have the control to fix this, but he does. He has the wherewithal, and if we would get our mouth in order and say the things that we like, say of the Lord, he is my helper, he's my strength, he's my all in all, then the angels, what does it say? Psalm 103, I was looking at this last week, said that, let me read it. They hearken unto the voice of his word. They excel in strength. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Amen. They will strengthen us. They will help us. I call that divine interference. That's what you call it. Divine interference, right? Amen.